Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. And to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship, you have no option. It's just, there's zero option. Rip the fucking idea out of your head that you can master marriage. You can transform your relationship. You can show up and actually start enjoying the role of husband. Rip the idea out of your head that your queen is ever going to look at you with like just those lovely doe eyes sort of looking at you like you're horror king and like, thank God, she stuck it out this far. Like this feeling that like it was all meant to be. Every single domino from the first time she clapped eyes on you to now, it has all made sense if you do not improve how you communicate with her. Communication, communication, communication is the highest source of where your attention needs to be. There's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. And if you're like me, and I imagine you are, and if you're like, I actually don't know of one king that I have jumped on a one-on-one call with, coaching, men's groups, etc., etc., and I've like, it's hundreds at this point. There's a pattern of how we all go at communication when communication ain't fucking working. Okay, and in all of this is like I have a different way that works exceptionally well and drops in yourself and your queen in ways that is like, it seems miraculous, but it's a repeated proven process to communicate amazingly. I came at this from points of extreme pain, extreme suffering for myself, suffering for my queen, to the point of which, you know, if you're new to the story here, and you're very welcome if you're fresh to the podcast, it was like a total marriage breakdown, breakthrough moment that brought the necessity for me to go, okay, how I'm communicating is just fucking, it ain't working. It really ain't working. I've got to do something completely, radically different, or this whole thing is going to burn up. And like, all the best intentions in the world, all the lamenting of, oh, but I did so much and I was a good guy, and like, you know, like, how dare or go and fall in love with another guy, and all that fucking bullshit, all that boy energy, poor me, I was entitled to the breast milk, I was entitled to better, like, and it's fucking whore issue anyway. Don't worry, I had plenty of escape routes in my mind where I could have went, but I wouldn't be where I am now. And it's the same thing for guys in Heroic Husbands men's circles. Like, a shout out to you guys in both groups that have been doing immense inner work. Immense inner work. And they're all in agreement that they do it. They've done it this other way. And how that looks is, there's three phases I would suggest that happens in dysfunctional, unwittingly dysfunctional communication. And, you know, lean into this, really lean in about how your communication, how the phases go. But by and large, what poor communication looks like, and we look at like conflict, we look at sort of like an argument happens, and arguments happen, think about it, like conflict happens when there's two different opinions at its basic level. You know, if both people are in agreement, it's like, hey, honey, do you think we should go there for the weekend? Oh, what a beautiful idea. It's all going good. You know, do you think we should stay? Like, I'd love to stay at that place and I'd love to go camping. Ah, conflict. You know, when there's agreement, all things go good. But when there's conflict, that's when things classically fall apart. Now, in conflict, there's two different truths. Both sides, you will find there's like, your queen goes, yeah, but this is true, and you go and you dig in your heels and, but this is true. And like, where conflict compounds, where it starts off with two opposing views or two different views, and it just gets worse and worse, and where 99.99% of couples end up slowly but surely, it just, the connection erodes to the point at which, like, both hearts just don't fucking want to open up to the pain of those, of trying to connect anymore. And it's like, well, unhappily ever after, you know, if you're just like, oh, we're just two loyal dogs and we stay together because, you know, loyalty and religious norms and social judgments, you know, we just want to at least put the facade out there that we're together. Guys, it's fucking bullshit. It's like the worst, I actually think that's the worst scenario, worse than even divorce and separation. But it's like completely without it being necessary at all, the connection erodes to the point which were initial love. And like, I really want to sweeten into this point. We don't do this as men, you know, we sort of like, oh, I'm fucking rugged and strong and hard, and like, I'm fucking okay by myself, you know, the lone wolf badge of honor. It's like, I'll fucking go on by myself, I need a different woman type shit. It's like, it's bullshit. In men's work, we say strong spine, soft front, and soft front is your loving, you know, the great masculine embodiments, embodiers of ferociously beautiful, self-loving and accepting heart warriorship. You know, Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, you name them, you're going to have your own heroes there. They're ones of mine that I particularly resonate with. J.D. Krishnamurti, like, whoever they are, and you will have, you know, men in your life that maybe will never make it to the history books or into the mass media, mass awareness. You'll have beautiful masculine embodiers of love. They had a soft front, rigorously strong spine, but had a soft front. They were feeling. And every man listening in, the only reason you're listening in here is like, you have a soft core, a beautiful, soft, open-hearted core. And it fucking hurts when you're disconnected from your queen. It hurts when you're disconnected from her. It really hurts when your truth is not being, you don't have the skill set to have your truth listened to. But in that first phase, what ends up happening is there's, you know, it rapidly becomes apparent there's two different points of view. There's conflict. And it gets into a right-wrong battle from the off. The first phase is truth. You're trying to get your truth across. And then your queen says, no, I think we should go to... No, I don't want to go camping because it's messy and the kids and blah, blah. And you're like, oh, but I haven't went camping. And I, like, we spoke about this camping. I'm using the camping versus B&B hotel thing. It just came spontaneously. It's like, hey, like, we spoke last time. You know, I have a need and I wanted to go camping and the kids and the weather's good. And then your queen is like, no, but like this time, and you didn't prepare for this. You're bringing this last minute, blah, blah, blah. So you end up in this, there's two truths, in two separate truths in either nervous system. And it's like this mudslinging battle, and it can sort of start off, you know, semi-okay, normal, but then it's just like it gets a little bit more tense, or depending on the topic, can get like super dramatic from the off. But by and large, every single man that has said to me, it's like, yeah, their inner intention in that moment, unspoken intention, is it's a right-wrong. It's like, I'm right, and I'm trying to convince her. You, some guys can hide from right-wrong. They're like, oh, one dude said to me, it's like, no, I'm not trying to prove she's wrong, I'm just trying to convince her that I'm right. Her nervous system is really receiving that you're trying to make me wrong, and hence it's not very effective at all. You know, like, how often have you went battle tooth and nail to prove your perspective is right, and how often have you had an open-hearted, rational-minded, you know, feminine response of, well, honey, you know, I've just listened to your rational arguments, and you know what? I've just such a depth of appreciation of your rationality, you know, your rational core, and it just makes so much sense. You know, you went for 5 or 10 minutes, like, really all in, passionately making the argument, and ultimately, you know, aiming to prove that I'm wrong, and you know, it just makes sense to me. I'm like, I'm so much in awe of you. I'm glad that you dug your heels in. Because, you know, I honor the fact that you've just, like, passionately made me feel wrong, that my perspective was wrong, and I'm so in love with you. You know, let's go to the campsite and let's go fuck like bunnies, because I'm so in love with you now. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. No human likes being told or proven that they're wrong. But that's what ends up in conflict. Both sides lead with truth. And there's this sort of battle of, yeah, I know you're saying that, and we might even partially semi-agree, but we're stuck in proving we're right. One of the main reasons why we do this, not to go into a whole heap of psychotherapeutic background, but there's in a profoundly sick society, we were sort of told what to do, told what to think. We were told by authoritarian figures, our parents, a lot of times it was like, I'm taller than you, I'm bigger than you, I'm louder than you, like I provide all the shit, so I have the trump card in all of these. It's like, just be quiet, just do what I'm saying. It's like, we didn't have our truth honored. We didn't have our truth honored with teachers. We didn't have our truth honored, with all of these authoritarian figures growing up, authority figures. So we have this backlash emotionally when somebody has an opposing view. This is rooted into the base of our nervous system. So in that moment when there's an opposing view, we end up getting very offensive, defensive, and it's just not a good basis. Again, this is 99.9% of relationships that I'm hearing about, that guys speak to. It's like, when conflict happens, it's not a very graceful, nice, open-hearted communication experience. It's not a nice human experience that people are having, definitely the further into marriage that they go. It's brutally corrosive. Then what happens is, like, you truth bomb, both of you truth bomb, you're having the argument, and you're like, you raise your voice, or you ground in, you might stonewall, you battle. It's like, yeah, I take that point, but here's three more points why my perspective has more weighted truth in it. The second phase is curiosity. So you truth bomb offensively, defensively at the beginning, and hey, your queen meets you there, and you're sort of battling tooth and nail. Then it's sort of a background curiosity. Nearly every guy will admit it's like, at some point, like your nervous system becomes curious, or becomes, when I say curious, it's like there's an openness that there could be another perspective here. You're there battling for the first 5-10 minutes, could be fucking an argument for half an hour. And at some point, like, there's some part of your nervous system that goes, yeah, it's like, infuriatingly, you're almost resentful that there's some sense. You've been fighting tooth and nail at camping, and I wanted to go camping, and we said about camping, and you said that the next time that we're going to go away, we're going to go camping, and like, all my arguments about the weather and this and that, like, it's all true, and it's all about camping, and screw you, it's a bad idea. Like, you've got it. It's got all personal. Then, after that initial phase, there's some part of you opens up and goes, well, actually, she sort of has a bit of a point here. There's certain parts of her argument I can sort of get. But the thing is, when curiosity comes after the truth bombing, every guy I speak with, and I know in my own catastrophically dramatic past of conflicts with my queen, at that point, when you sort of soften into, she sort of has a point, we don't want to admit it. We don't want to soften at that point. And if we do, because we sort of brought an asshole energy to the first segment because we were truth bombing, we were like, I'm right, you're wrong. If we actually admit in the second phase of getting curious, of softening, oh, she has a perspective. If at that point, after trying to, cross over her boundaries, prove she's wrong, I'm right. If we at that point go, hey, baby, like, there is actually a bit of a point, like, I get what you're saying. She's that fucking pissed off. She's that feeling upset. She's that feeling that disrespected, etc., etc., that she's going to be like, she's going to give you a bit of a fuck you energy. Yeah, glad you finally dropped in. And that just triggers more of your defensive shit. And like, what ends up happening, if we speak it, we get that kickback. And then where do we go back to? We go back to the phase of truth. We're like, yeah, well, fuck you. Like, I admit it, but I'm still right, because we got kickback. And we end up like retracing childhood patterns where just get down, grounded, dogged, defensive, offensive, in owning your truth, because you're going to be eliminated otherwise. And then the third phase, eventually we will get to owning our shit. A lot of times guys get like the truth bombing, they might get curious, they might soften to it, regretfully, like we get kickback, we go back to truth, it gets more and more intense, so, depends, no right, no wrong, it's like name calling, it can get aggressive, it can get messy, stonewalling, it's all dramatic, and there might be some makeup sex at the end of it, there might just be like you'll blanket ban, you just storm off to work, you'll storm out the door to the gym, whatever it is. And at some point, we own. And what that looks like and feels like is we're like so many guys, like nearly every single guy. Again, because you have a deep love for this beautiful woman. You have a deep, deep love. You don't want her to feel hurt with you. And we end up getting caught in these trauma reenactment patterns in our system where we didn't know any better. Our dads or stepdads, no masculine embodiments, embodiers growing up, ever taught us how to do conflict consciously, how to get from two different truths and get it to a point where there's harmony, where both truths are actually honored, and it's a where conflict actually becomes a beautiful spiritual experience with a repeated process where you can come back into open-hearted connection. Nobody taught you that. So you end up getting to the point where you storm off to work, you storm off to the gym, you get the fuck out of the house, you're like, you just end it, make up sex next day, whatever, you go, drive off to work, and you then own. And there's a part where there's remorse. There's a part where, fuck, I ended up saying those things and I don't want to say those things. I made her cry. I ended up like she was so fucking upset with me. And yeah, you might still have like the back of, yeah, well, I fucking had a point. But there's always this point when we finally soften and own. We're like, oh man, I was fucking asshole there. And I don't want to fucking say that. And then there's like, you know, you can end up beating the shit out of yourself, the inner critic, like how have I done this again? Why does it always come back to this point? So most guys, 99.9%, if you touch base yourself, do you end up doing arguments, conflict moments where there's two diverse opinions, but like you just like, there's not two diverse opinions in your mind. It's like, I'm right, she's wrong. That's not an opinion. That's just fucking bullshit. That's irrational. That's like, why is she even saying that? Do you come from there? 99. If we were 1,000 guys in the room, I would be expecting 1,000 guys to be putting their hands up. And I'd be really putting a lot of heat under the guys that keep the hand down going, no, I don't. You know, it's like nice guys that, no, I'm always honoring her truth. And, you know, if there's drama in a relationship, you're making her wrong. Actually, and you mightn't be speaking it, and that's more infuriating for the feminine when it's like, oh, but I don't tell her she's wrong. Yeah, you're telling, we'll go into that, you're telling her she's wrong, maybe not with your words, but with how your nervous system is, what you're communicating unconsciously. Remember, 90% of communication is nonverbal. You're fucking telling her she's wrong. If she's not softening with her, you're telling her she's wrong. You're judging her at the background of your mind. So that's how dysfunction works. You truth bomb first, you sort of soften into curiosity, but you can't own it fully and it's not received. And then you own with remorse, with whatever afterwards. And but you end up repeatedly getting stuck in this pattern. So when one pattern doesn't work, you got to break free from it. You got to get that rational powerhouse part of you and go, fuck it, I'm going to do it a different way. What we do in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, and every single guy in there that has been in, there's been some of them in for about 3.5-4 months, some of them in just quite short time. But every single one of them, we do the opposite. I'm teaching the guys a way, and there's very profound self-reflective journaling that they do to bring a ton of detail to this. But I'm going to introduce you to, like, quickly to the system that we use. I've spoken to parts of this before, but in this episode, I want to get, like, a complete summary where you guys that are listening in, you can get what's working so amazingly for the guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. I mean, when they practice the opposite, which is you own where you're at first, you're curious next, and then you speak your truth. It's a proven system for guaranteeing that your queen feels seen, heard, and safe first, and then you speak your truth. What's happening, one of the most regular things I'm hearing from guys in Heroic Husbands, men's circles, and one-on-one coaching is like, yeah, when they get into the groove of it, and that's what they start practicing, it's like the weekly check-ins and in one-on-one in the open chairs, they're like, oh yeah, I started practicing and did my five pillars of presence, awareness, and I was owning that. I got super curious. I really listened to where she was at that point. It's like the most repeated, recurring comment is, and then she teared up. Then she broke into tears. And it's tears of like a decade, two, three, four decades of relief that's coming through her nervous system of, he's finally listening. He's finally curious about me. He's finally owning where he's at and where he's not at. I feel safe in his presence. And the tear up. And the tear up, it's like a tear of relief. There's a tear of joy. And then these beautiful queens are finally going, I'm finally being heard by you and being seen by you. And it's this most beautiful spiritual experience for them by doing the opposite. Let's jump into it. There's three steps: own, curious, and truth. What's really important in this, and like I can't overemphasize this, is if you get rational, like, oh, own, and then I'm curious, and then I'm truth, there's intention that's needed in the base of this. There must be a rock solid intention to connect with, to understand and honor both human truths. You have a truth. I'm not saying, oh, own your shit and own your communication. We'll go into it and get curious about hers as some way of ignoring there's some valid truth in you. Guys, it's really important that you honor and acknowledge that there's a truth that's coming through you. It's how to do it in a graceful way. The important part is like you honor both your truth and your queen's truth. Because in that moment of conflict, and this is the thing, if you love your woman, like put your hand up energetically or physically, like do you love your queen? It's like, because if you don't fucking love her, like, and now I'm not talking about if you don't love her, it's like, did you ever love her? Because to feel disconnected that your nervous system has hardened up and your queen's nervous system has hardened up. I'm not talking about that. That's escapism bullshit. It's boy energy. It's, oh, I don't love her anymore. It's like, I'm going out the door and I'm going to find another woman that I can love. And I'm going to join the statistics. I'm going to marry that second woman. And, you know, 50% of first time marriages end, 65% of second time marriages end, and 85% plus of third marriages end. I'm just going to go and find a different woman. No, it's fucking bullshit. I'm saying, did you ever love her? Was there ever a moment when, you know, some part of you was just like melted in her presence? It was fucking, there was good shit there. Okay, there's love there. Just trust that there is love there. If you love your woman, and like, no matter how rough and tough and hard it has seemed recently, connect with the moment when she did look at you like you were her king. She did love you. Like you got down on the knee and she like proposed. She said yes on a marriage day and years. There's good times there somewhere when her nervous system was allowing her heart be open with you and believe in something great was going to happen. That's love. Trust that it's there. In a moment of conflict, your nervous system, your perspective, there's something valid in there. There's some truth in there that needs to be honored. But it's also true, and it's also true, there is a valid perspective, and it might be hidden within your queen, hidden within you. There might be a messy first draft of that truth coming out, but you must go into communication with an intention to connect with, to get curious, and to try and understand what your queen's truth is. Why is she pissed off? Why is she taking that perspective? And very often the initial things she's saying isn't the true issue at all. It's infuriating for us as men, but that's why if you go with truth bombing at the beginning and you attack what she says initially, that's not what's going on very often. Actually, 99.9%, what she's saying is not the issue. So you've got to have that intention. What happens in the conflict, you know, what works so potently, and every single guy in Heroic Husbands, men's circles, I'm seeing it. It's like, it's really beautiful to see how fucking potent this system is. I came upon this system when I just started getting hyper rational in my marriage, seeing what doesn't work. I ruthlessly hacked what didn't work out, and I ruthlessly implemented what I noticed were the patterns of what did work. And I'm seeing that as quite universal. So the own curious truth that came from the bowels of hell in my own marriage transformation. The first part is own. It's like you recognize, okay, cool, there's conflict. It's go time. Kobe Bryant used to say, it's like when he was going out in the court, it's go time. He'd take all his personal shit, all his baggage, all his problems, all his stresses, and he was like, it's go time. I'm doing this. My peak performance state is the only state I'm looking for. So I do invite, boy energy fucking sucks the life and soul out of it. It's like you're just vomiting out old resentments that you have with your mother, with your stepmom, with your dad, and all your hurt, which, hey, that's okay. That makes you human. But when you get into truth bombing in the beginning, there's a ton of old hurt, of old pain, of old shame, of old wounds when you were blamed, when you were attacked, when you were abandoned. And that gush of emotion comes out in the first nanoseconds of conflict. Now, what happens, as I say, why we go to truth bombing, which truth bombing is ultimately blaming in many senses, with shaming in the background. Shaming is thoughts against yourself, blaming is thoughts and words against your queen. Why we go to those, they're protective mechanisms to stop us feeling the pain of what is triggered in that moment. But that pain goes back to childhood. You don't fucking need to spend, 2-3 thousand bucks on psychotherapy to bring you there. Most people that do that, they don't actually have much better marriages as a result, or to go from dysfunctional to barely f to functioning. But that's a pretty sick fucking standard, and considering the profoundly sick society we're in, it's not acceptable for me. I just really want to say that have higher standards. You need to own what's live. You need to speak some or all of your self-recognized signs of heart closure. We go very deep into this in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. The guys do a really complete, the in insane detail to get really clear about what are the signs of their heart closure. The point is, when you're going dropping into heart closure, you've got to recognize you're in heart closure. These are old protective patterns from your childhood that are playing out again. Anything you speak from unchecked, unnoticed, unacknowledged signs of heart closure, your queen isn't going to receive your truth, no matter how valid it seems for you. I've spoken about the dirty plate metaphor before, super quickly. I've like done a full episode on it, but the dirty plate metaphor is like, imagine you're in a top restaurant, your favorite restaurant, and your favorite meal. You've ordered it, it's your birthday, you're super hungry, you're salivating, waiting for this beautiful meal. And the beautiful meal comes down, it's 5-star, cooked by your favorite chef. It's brilliant, it's exquisite, it's perfect. But when the waiter puts the plate down in front of you, you notice that the plate is really dirty. It's disgustingly dirty. There's paw prints, there's footprints of rats on it, there's a cat hair, there's droppings of some unidentified fucking mammal on it. It's disgusting. You're never going to eat that meal. Never. And if the waiter goes, oh, but it's the meal is cooked beautifully and it's not touching any of the dirt, can you please eat it? So you're going to tell him to fuck off. So, the plate that the meal is served on changes everything. I've not had one guy that rebels against that metaphor. They're like, they get it. It's like a dirty plate changes everything. A dirty plate, it renders completely obsolete the quality of the meal that is being served on the plate with immediate effect. You can be in a Ritz in Paris, wherever, it doesn't fucking matter. So that's the case. If you're in heart closure and there's five checks, it's stillness, sight, shape, state, story. This is a bit of fire hydrant. Maybe it's a lot in together, guys, but hey, you're powerful kings. I want to bring you on a gift you like a really high value complete journey on this. Like signs of heart closure. Super quick. This is where the guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles are fucking nailing this part like to immense levels. Stillness. When you're in an unchecked state of fear, we'll say fear, there's love or there's fear. then there's subparts of it. There's anger, there's aggression, there's guilt, there's all. But let's just go love and fear. When you're in fear, you're in that moment of fear in conflict. That's like the foundational emotional, because you're fearing that your truth won't be received. So you get defensive and you get offensive. What happens is stillness is dictated by your breathing. When you're breathing slow and deep, you're in love, you're present. But if you're in fear, your breath, your breathing pattern is going to be different. It's going to be like more rapid, less deep. It's going to be superficial. And subconsciously, your queen will pick this up. She'll pick up the energy. Queens are irritating for us men because they are so in tune. They can tune into the emotion, our emotional state within a nanosecond. So when you're in heart closure, your breathing is sort of a little bit screwed up. What the guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circle, what my practice is, any guy that does this practice, their marriage transforms, by the way, is you notice that and you drop in, you start breathing deep. Breathing deep starts calming your nervous system down, and the mirror neurons in your queen starts being affected by that within a few seconds, and definitely within a few minutes. So you start breathing deep. Then the second part is sight. When you go into heart closure, you're either staring or out of it with like a fuck off, like Conor McGregor, I'm going to rip your fucking head off. Ah, you know, like a way in. That's not the type of stare. You know, when I say to you, you know, make eye contact, it ain't the death stare on UFC and the weighing scales. You know, some guys have said to me, it's like, oh, but I do make eye contact. It's like, yeah, dude, but like, are you trying to rip her fucking head off? Like, what's your thinking? What's happening in your nervous system? It's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, I get your point. We're either staring in conflict. It's a death stare. It's hard. There's furrowed brows. It's like we're tense. There's tension in our face. Or we're avoiding. A lot of guys resonate with that. We're avoiding. We're not wanting to make eye contact. We glance at the clock. Because why? It's like, when will this end? Our eyes will tell us where our intention is at. So if you're not looking at her and you're looking away, that's telling her ample evidence to her nervous system. He doesn't want to be here. He's avoiding me. I'm not feeling seen. I'm not feeling heard. And I'm definitely not feeling safe. And then you wonder why she's cranking up her shit. She's getting upset. She's like truth bombing you. She's disagreeing with everything you're saying. Again, it's like the dirty plate. Anything you say with these signs of heart closure unowned, it's a dirty plate. She's like, she's not caring about the meal. She's forgotten everything. She's not listening to anything you're saying. She's wanting you to feel safe, to feel that you're present. And then and only then will she receive your meal. Again, this is why own is first. So what you would do there, like the breath, you start breathing deep when you notice you're breathing superficially. Your eyes, you would go back. And the practice is, like, if your eyes, even for myself, I practice this, it's been years. I screw up, but I screw up, but it's not a screw up. And my eyes will look away. And then I look back, I'll put them back when I notice. I lock in a loving heart gaze, no death stare, UFC weigh-in style. I lock in a lovely, open, you know, spacious, loving eye gaze with my queen. And I'll apologize, like, baby, I was looking away there for a few moments. Man, it's just old protective patterns of avoidance, you know. And like, she'll even have a laugh. And we can be in the middle of quite intense stuff. But when I own it and I lock back in, and I just apologize gracefully. It's like, baby, go on. I really want to know. You're shifting into curious. You own your heart, your sign of heart closure. And once you shift back, you apologize. Hey, baby, my eyes were off. Old style protective patterns. Now, you shift into curious. You don't need to go through like a full rundown of every single sign of heart closure. Own one of them and come back. And baby, I'm curious. You know, I really want to know what's live for you. The other signs are shape. Again, like the sight, like the breathing. If you notice your shape is off, if you notice you've clenched fists, classic ones, you fold your arms, you turn away, you shift your whole body that you're not facing her at all. Shape refers to posture, but then it's also what your body does in the room. Some guys end up pacing. They just can't sit with the emotions that are coming up and live, and with the pressure of a deep, intimate, challenging conversation is happening. They start pacing, or they sit or stand the far end of the room, which again, it's communicating your shape. Your physical body is communicating, if I could lean against this wall that's behind me hard enough, And if it could just fucking, if the wall would crumble, I'd do it because my nervous system wants to get as far away from you geographically, physically as possible. That's what I'm feeling on the inside. You know, your shape is communicating again. You know, if when you, if you notice, like, hey, I'm like the far end of the room, it's like, oh, baby, you just say it. It's like, baby, I'm noticing I'm doing my old protective patterns. Like, trying to get as far away from you as possible because, hey, old protective patterns, you know, I just, I'm not, I haven't been good at this yet. I'm sorry, baby. And you step over beside her, you correct your posture if you've been clenching or tightening your jaws or facing away. Arms folded, you apologize, baby, sorry. Protective patterns, it's old shit coming through. I'm just aware. I want you to feel safe. So you sit in front of her. You can stand, but you stand within arm's reach is a really good sort of rule of thumb. Within arm's reach with an open chest, open hearted, sitting upright, hands in your lap. You might like reach out and just touch her, or give her a really affirming, comforting, you know, confident grip on her thigh to support her grounding into her body. And you go again, you shift into curiosity. Baby, I'm fully with you now. L tell me more. I'm really want to know what's life for you, what's true for you in this moment, and like why you're upset, why you're pissed off, why you said those things at the beginning. I want to know what's underneath that. I want you to feel seen, heard, and safe with me. This is like medicine. This is spiritual medicine for her nervous system. This is the bit where she tears up when she realizes you're sincerely doing this. The last two are state and story. State is your emotional state. You know, honoring is like you would speak. You recognize it can be a skill set, definitely, and within Heroic Husbands men's circles and one-on-one work with me, guys upskill, upgrade their capacity to note what their emotional charge is. But you don't pretend that that's not there. You know, it's like the countless times that your queen, and like every queen has asked, it's like, are you okay, honey? And we by default go 99.99999% of the time and say, yeah, I'm fine. We're not fucking fine. And she's not even asking you, are you okay? She knows you're not okay. She knows that emotionally you're feeling off. She's wanting you to own that you're emotionally, there's some challenging emotion that you're feeling. One of the most revelatory things to do is go, baby, I just want to let you know I've like there's a charge of like quite intense anger there, or I want to let you know, baby, I know there's a deep frustration that I'm feeling right now. You're probably noticing in my eyes and all the rest. I want to be present with you, but I want to let you know I know that. Guys, this is like taking the bullet out of a gun. A gun is only dangerous when the bullets are in it. It's very, very minimal what a gun can do to you without bullets. If you think about it, it's like it's not a dangerous thing without bullets. If you take the bullets out and go, baby, I know there's a charge of frustration there, there's a charge of anger, there's a charge of sadness in me now. I want to let you know that I know that it's there. But again, shift into curiosity. Please go on. What's life for you emotionally? What's life? What's life in your mind? You take the bullet out of the gun, and her nervous system goes, that's okay. Our queens are super powerful beings. They're okay with you being emotional. Women are okay with emotion. They actually love to dig emotionality. What your queen is yearning for, and why the queens, my queen, and every queen ends up, you know, just spontaneously tearing up, is he's honoring his emotions. He's emotionally present. So when you say that, it's like it's beautiful for them to hear this. Story is another one. There's in conflict, there's blame. Thoughts about blaming her, against her, shame, against yourself, and claim thoughts is like taking extreme ownership. Normally they're not there in conflict, and that's okay by pattern. But like just saying, like I said to my queen, like in the beginning when I was doing this practice, baby, I just want to let you know I'm aware that like pretty much 100% of the thoughts in my head at the moment are blame thoughts, they're against you. But I know, and like I remember her like shooting me looks in that moment. I look of shock that I was saying it, and it was like this default trigger happy offensive. She was about to rip my head off. She was like, because that to her meant I'm attacking her. But when I actually said, I was like, hey, I just know they're all in blame thoughts, but baby, I know from past experience, it's like I'm only in that when I don't fully understand you. So can you support me? And I got curious about her again. It's like I want to let you know that I'm like submerged in blame thoughts in my mind, you're going to be picking that up anyway. I want to let you know that I know, but I'm not going to go with them. Again, you take the bullet out of the gun. Guys, this is the ownership part. This allows your, it cleans your plate and it allows your meal to be received. Your loved one, your queen, feels safe. It's like he's aware of all his signs of heart closure. He might have blame thoughts, but he's not blaming me. He might have shame thoughts, but he's not like going into like an inner child shit fit, sucking his thumb in a corner, going, "Oh, poor me, stop the argument." It's like he's holding structure, he's holding upright posture, his eyes are looking at me, he's not the far end of the room, he's not pacing, he's sitting beside me, he has a hand on my lap. Fuck, he's really present. He knows the emotional state, thought state, etc., etc. It's fucking amazing. This and only this would have her open her heart. And the second part, as I've been saying, is curious. You prioritize her truth. Because it's only until you fully understand what's really going on within your queen that you truly, open-heartedly practice, and this is fucking intense, by the way. Don't pretend, oh, it's like, oh, I listened to that episode, hi ho, silver, off I go, and then send me an email going, it's screwed up, she didn't receive it, fucking, it fell to shit. This is a high-end practice, guys. This takes refining. I would say it takes deep support in men's circles or one-on-one coaching. It's a really profound practice because why? What you need to own is like, very often it's 2, 3, 4, 5 decades of immense, intense inner emotional wounding, where abandonment issues, where shit that went on, where your mom treated your dad bad, and that just hurt you so far. And yeah, you froze, that all those that emotionality got stuck, and you don't realize that that's the explosive anger, the explosive rejection, the shame, the grief, the sadness, the all of that shit that comes true in your intimate relationship with your queen today. It's an immense spiritual practice to be able to own that to a level that I'm talking about here. I just want to say that it can seem, I want to open you up to the possibility that, you know, you mightn't realize now, but that every single man in Heroic Husbands men's circles and every single man that's coached by me ends up realizing it's like this just, it works. It's so fucking profound. I would say it's like it's going to be really hard to lone wolf this into the full fruition. If you're a game ball to try, who am I to hold you back? You're going to make your own decision as a sovereign being anyway. I'm just saying, getting support of a bunch of powerful guys to support you tweaking it, to support you in your blind spots. Every guy in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, I've had my own blind spots when I'm thinking I'm present, I'm thinking I'm owning my shit, but then I get feedback from other guys. I'm like, I'm not owning that part. Oh, fuck, I didn't realize that part was not being owned. It really supports. That said, it's a really powerful paradigm that I want all of you guys to get within this culture. Why? Because it fucking works. Why? Because the other doesn't work. Shift to what works. Truth curious own. Truth bombing at the beginning doesn't work. It never works. So you get curious in the second part. You've owned your shit. You've apologized. You've course corrected. You've got presence. You've got your posture. You're there. You get super curious. You practice open-hearted curiosity to understand your queen's inner world human experience with a genuine part. It's like there might be a part of your mind, and this is presence. There might be a part of your mind going, ah, oh, but Jesus, what she's saying, it's so infuriating. Trust. Trust. Just get curious. Baby, I've heard you. You practice. Start practicing. You listen for a few minutes, and then what I'd suggest is, like, after a few minutes, like, baby, can I just, I want to make sure that I'm hearing you. Can I reflect back what I believe I've heard you say? I just, and then help me fill in the gaps. And after like 2, 3, 4 minutes of her speaking, it's like, baby, can I just summarize what I believe I've heard you say? And you give her the summary. And then you'd ask, it's like, you clarify, have I heard you correctly? Or is there some part I'm missing still? And that point should be like, yeah, well, you said this bit and that's not what I was really meaning. But it's, she's now open-hearted. You're now, she's now feeling safe. She's now going, what the fuck has happened? Like the last 20, 30 years, he used to truth bomb me, and I used to always have to feel defensive, and I used to have to fight tooth and nail for my truth to be even listened to, and but he never actually listened to. Now all of a sudden, he's just every single conversation, he gets super curious about my truth. So it mightn't happen in the first conversation, but after a couple of conversations, when she knows you're fucking real and you mean business, she'd be like, hey, yeah, actually, what I'm really wanting to say. And then the deeper stuff comes through. She might clarify what she was really meant. What I really meant, you have heard me well, but what I really am meaning to say is this. And then you have more. And then you might reflect back, you mirror back. It's like, I believe I've heard you say this. Is that true? And then you get to a point where you listen and you keep getting curious, like, baby, do you feel complete here? Do you feel completely heard by me and understood by me? And when she gets to the point, it's like, yeah, actually at this point, yeah. Is there anything else you need to add, baby? You know, you add a little bit more. It's like, no, at this point, I feel I'm good. Then you go to truth. Only when you've owned your shit in the beginning, you've owned your points of heart closure, you come back to presence. Remember, you clean the plate and then serve the meal. You're curious. You go through the curiosity. She's feeling at that point, guys, and with practice, again, don't expect to nail it on the first, even the second, third. But when you get a bit of momentum going and she's expecting, she's like, he's in this for the long run. This is the way he's showing up. By the way, the one of the very common things that powerful queens within Heroic Husbands men circles are saying as they tear up, it's like, yeah, but how long is this going to last? They're loving it. They're loving that the guys are practicing it. They're fucking digging it to levels where it's like, yeah, and more, please. But there's a part of them scared shitless of, if I soften my heart in, you're doing this, this is fucking beautiful. They mightn't give two shits that you call it own curious or truth or five pillars of heart closure or five pillars of presence. Like, they're queens. They mightn't give a fuck about the rational, systematized part of it. What they care about is, if I open my heart up and you're doing this 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and if I soften my heart up and I actually bring my open-hearted joy, my love, my inner child, that sweet, innocent core of me that is like it has been trapped in there. Maybe I brought it out in the beginning and, you know, through my trauma, through my protective pathways, yeah, I fucking locked it away because it was just too hurtful. All the arguments, all the disconnection, the lack of sex, the lack of appreciation. I'm never feeling seen, heard, and safe around you. That's what my queen, that's why she nearly, she reminded me recently, like, she was really close. There was a part of her, like, very provocatively thinking of leaving me. Like, really, it was like fucking, like, it's not a miracle. It's like I learned to implement this process to salvage my marriage. She was really, really close to leaving me. It was actually humble pie recently to get reconnected with how close that was. So they give this feedback of, it's like, but how long is this, you know, my queen with me, how long is this new mark going to stay around? How long is this new, and like put in the name of all the guys in Heroic Husbands, how long is this dude going to stay around for? You know, is the old asshole you going to all of a sudden show up and hurt me? They're really cagey about opening up their heart. But if you're a king and you're listening in here, you've got the gripe. Like, this is extreme ownership stuff. You don't fucking go back to bullshit. You really don't. And if it happens and you slip, you go back to the exact same system to clean up. Some of the guys, they slip off the horse. All of the guys, I do it as well. When you fall off the horse and you might go into heart closure and, man, you just lose it for a few minutes or maybe just for a whole conversation and you just go back unwittingly to asshole mode, you just come back the next day, next morning, and go, baby, and you own everything. And you get curious about how that felt for her. And then, like, you just, it's heroic humility, the ground of truth. Queens are not looking for perfection, but they are looking that you're going to fucking commit, that this is a lifelong commitment. You can slip up, but is it a lifelong commitment? You bring your truth. So you've owned, you're curious, and you bring your truth. In that moment, and you got to be aware at this point, this is like when you actually have set the scene up, you've owned, your queen is there, She's being heard. This is the part where most guys start really feeling the depth of how much trauma they have experienced growing up. Because of practicing owning your shit present day with your queen, getting super curious. So she's feeling seen, heard, and completely safe. And she's there open-heartedly waiting. Like, now it's go time for you. You will notice in this moment. I still notice in moments when it's like my queen is so fully there. My practice is so, you know, regular and consistent that like she's game ball to hear my truth. When it comes to me speaking my truth, a sudden gush of anxiety comes in. A sudden gush of shame. A sudden gush of fear comes in. It's like I've heard her. She's completely there. It's open. It's like the scene is perfectly set. And my nervous system from 30, 35 years ago gives me a gush of some potentially unsettling emotion that would trigger me that some bad shit is about to go down. But it has nothing to do with my queen in that moment. And this has been so fucking revealing and humbling for me to realize. It's at that moment to speak your truth, no matter what you're feeling. Baby, what feels true to me in this moment is, I really want to go camping because this is a trip that's of deep importance to me as a man. I really want to share time with the kids and introduce them to nature. It means so much to the depths of my being. It's really important. Keep it. Be direct. Be concise. Own it. Speak what's true for you. There might be feedback for your queen. Hey, that can be high charges. Like, but you will notice here when in moments when, and some of you might be sort of, there can be a resistance to this. It's like sometimes she just is wrong. Like genuine, the kickback can be, it's like, dude, it's like, yeah, it's fine. Be curious about her. But what if she's just fucking wrong? You can be sure that when you own your shit, you own, you're not truth bombing whore, and you get super curious. By the time, if you've been really owning your shit, clean plate, fully present, owning your protective patterns, all of your heart closure and coming back to presence, and then you're truly curious about her, she will course correct by herself. Because in her heart of hearts, she's wanting to be open-hearted, to be feeling love for you, love for life, and to be feeling loved, that she is lovable. The spiritual human core of every human being, including your queen, again, you've got to have the fucking courage and the spiritual balls to disconnect with how reality has been for the last couple of months, last couple of years, last decade or two, if it has been pretty shitty. When you take extreme ownership like this, there's a core part of your queen that wants to meet you there. There's a core part of her that knows full well when she's been saying attacking shit and she doesn't want to be saying that. But when you meet her there fully present and fully curious, you're owning your shit and you're fully curious and she feels seen and heard and you're owning your shit, you're owning that there's blame there, but you're still loving her enough and loving yourself enough to hold presence and get curious about her. She will open up and she will tear up. My queen multiple times has teared up and go, I'm not wanting to say those things to you, Mark. And it's like, I'm not wanting to shut you out. And I'm not wanting to dissociate and go to the far end of the universe and hurt you and disconnect and dissociate to the point at which I'm just not responsive. I'm not in my body. And I say and I do, you know, what are so hurt, things that are so hurtful for you. I'm not wanting to do those things. She arrives by herself. In moments when you have, like, you know, real direct feedback, very often the first two phases of exquisite ownership of what's live in your heart closure, you get present and you get super curious, she will arrive there by herself. Because why? You will be the first human being who has ever owned their shit, has ever been present to all their own, your own parts of heart closure. You own it, you apologize, you come and practice presence, you course correct, and then you get super curious. She will never, you will be literally the first human being she has met that has done that for her, outside of a paid fucking counselor or therapist. And that's why so many, it's sort of known as a women's thing. So many women fall in love with their therapist. It happens the opposite side as well, because it's a pretty fucking intoxicating human experience to have somebody in front of you practice being sublimely present and having you feel completely seen, completely heard, and radically safe in your presence. I'm wanting to make the point, guys, that if you practice this and pay the price energetically, spiritually, psychologically, like it could be this episode, you repeat it again and again and again. Some of you guys listening in have been inspired by guys that they go and they jot down notes, the notes, like own curious truth, to take down the notes, they write out the key points that I'm saying, and you study it again and again. Fucking do it, man. Invest in. This is what I did for years when I had no money to invest in training. I got a book, an audio course, and I listened again and again and again and again. So I'm saying, maybe you don't have the money. Maybe you just are just like tattooed to lone wolfing. You do it alone. It's like, dude, like do what you want. But take notes. Study this shit. I know for a fact that when you start practicing this and you own it, you're curious, and then you speak your truth, but she's feeling seen, heard, and safe, even if she's not in agreements yet or still, or she might never be in agreement with your truth, with your perspective, that can be okay too. But she'll hear you. She'll see you. She'll be like, yeah, you know, I don't agree with that. I don't know, will I ever agree with that, but hey, if that's your perspective, like, well, that's okay too. You end up having this thing where it's impossible for all truths to line up, all perspectives to line up. The practice here is that you can still remain in a felt love, loving connection with each other, and objectively hold space for, you know, sometimes there'd be an observation of, that's just a different perspective we have. You don't fucking like camping. I'm going with this playful thing. It's like, baby, you just don't like camping. You love hotels. It's like, yeah, I never was owning it. I've been resisting, and there's been kickback, and there's judgment that it's wrong, but it's not wrong. It's just, I'm not one for camping. And hey, you then with both truths honored, going, baby, you like your fucking comfort. You like a good bed. You get playful. She's like, yeah, I just fucking love that. I never, because I had a fucking bad experience in camping, or never liked, I'm fucking afraid of it. I just don't fucking like it. And like when both truths are honored, it's like, I just love camping. I was like, did tons of scouts growing up. My best memories with my dad was that one time we went camping. That's why I'm just yearning to go camping. Or in my college days, I went camping and I just loved it, and I want to share that with my kids. I'd love you to come along. But you're now honoring both truths. Both nervous systems are like, ah, oh, isn't this beautiful? We're actually able to feel loving connection. We're even having fun with our differences. And with both truths honored, there's nothing greater. With both truths in both husband and wife, your nervous system's going, wow, I'm allowed to have a different perspective. From that, as a both feeling seen, heard, and safe, both truths are allowed, are given permission to exist. That healing happens. That, you know, your queen can go, well, hey, like, you know, then you get creative and going, I really don't like the whole tent thing, but honey, would glamping, I've seen these places where they're out in nature, but dude, they just have these yurts and they just have comfy beds in it. You'll be in nature, you'll be hearing the fucking, like, the owl, and you can stargaze, and it's out in nature, it's by the river. Honey, she comes back and she looks like, I've seen this glamping thing, it's up, it's, and she, because she wants to meet you there and you've honored her truth, she's like, it's in the most spectacular place, it's in the more spectacular place than you ever would have went with your simple tent that's just been packed away in the garage the last 20 years. And she's like, would that work? And at that point, like, you can meet her there because she's honoring your truth. You don't want her to feel afraid. You don't want her to have a really bad, shitty experience. And you're like, baby, if that gets your comforting. If the glamping idea works for you, baby, my main thing was with the camping ideas, I just wanted to be in the countryside. I don't like big fucking buildings and car parks and, the swimming pool as the highest experience of it, that the hotel brings. It's like, I want the highest experience to be, get up in the morning early with the kids, with you. We have a beautiful breakfast outside and like, fucking, we go for a walk, we go for a swim in the lake, whatever it is. I want, it's nature, it's outside. So yeah, baby. Guys, there are a truth both sides. There's a truth in you. But that truth, again, when you truth bomb from the beginning, your deepest truth will not be honored. And if you truth bomb and she truth bombs and you get into this right wrong thing, well, you will know. Put your hand up. Has truth bombing, has right and wrong ever been received? Has your woman ever proved you wrong and you to open heartedly go, I love you, baby? Or on the opposite side, it doesn't ever happen. It's horrible because it's a trauma reenactment of shitty communications that we suffered at the hands of authority figures who felt just because they're taller, they're louder, and they're paying the bills means that they can just pull the power card on you. We're rebelling against childhood experiences when we get into right and wrong. But with this practice, where you go and you detach and you say, well, truth bombing in the beginning, then subtly getting curious and then owning it like 24 or 48 hours later and feeling remorseful, it never works. When you commit to return the order, instead of truth bomb, curious, and own, you go, well, what if I start with I own my shit and I get my plate clean so she can receive my meal, and then I get curious and make sure she feels completely heard, completely seen, and now she's seen, heard, and she's feeling safe because I'm unloading the bullets from my gun, putting the gun down the table, all my protective patterns, I'm owning them, coming back to presence, and then I speak my truth, and boy, she just loves hearing my truth. She mightn't agree with it, and maybe she does agree with it, but now both truths are honored. Now you're playing the infinite game of marriage. Now you're playing the most exhilarating, for me, the most exhilarating game on earth is deep intimate relationships. This works with your kids as well. This works if with buddies. Now, in we practice this in Heroic Husbands men's circles. The guys are on calls with each other. They're all practicing it. It's a phenomenal system. So you own your shit, you clean your plate, you get super curious about the other human being's perspective, and then you speak your truth. And then you repeat. You go back through it because it's not just one process. I don't mean to say it's like own, curious, and then truth. Of course, there's going to be a mixing up. With another human, it's not to get segmental, but little bit like a bit of own, a bit of curious, bit of truth, and then you come back, own, curious, truth, and sometimes you'll speak your truth first. But when you have trust built, then your truth first will be honored. But if you have signs of heart closure, you gotta fucking start with own, then curious, then truth. A bonus part outside of this, we're an hour in. I want this is going to be one of those episodes where it's a real comprehensive introduction to all of this stuff. You already have the own curious truth systematic way that is proven to completely transform your communications and how your queen will receive your truth. The added bonus, and I spoke to this separately other times, but in a more complete episode here, is meet. The masculine practice is set the structure for the communication to happen, and in a lot of ways, that's like meeting the attachment needs. Key things and guys in Heroic Husbands men's circle, like one of the guys, I'm gonna say Mike, I'm not giving his surname, but Mike, I know you, I love you, you're an absolute king. He was talking about the touch. I mentioned during it's like one of the attachment needs is touch. I would say touch. Like a great rule of thumb is stay within arm's reach for the conversation. Great rule of thumb. Mike gave me feedback. He was like, we had given him this, I'd given out this structure and he was studying it diligently. He was applying it. He was like, Mark, I was in the kitchen with my queen. I was owning my shit. I was doing the five pillars. I was curious, speaking my truth. And it just wasn't, it was like there was something. she just wasn't dropping in, and he was there like for 45 minutes or like quite a bit of time, and he was practicing and it was getting to a point but just wasn't getting over the line. And then he remembered at one point, it's like, oh, stay within arm's reach. And he walked over, he sat right beside her, like from the far end of the kitchen, he closed that distance, he went within arm's reach, put a hand on her lap. 10 seconds later, his queen teared up. Because she felt the safety. Her attachment needs was, man, subconsciously, when you're the far end of the room, I'm scared that you're not wanting to be with me. I'm scared that you're scared of me. I'm scared that when you're all the way over there, that's like your mom. That's like your dad. Like in your childhood experiences, that's like them not coming to hold you. Them not hugging you. Them not being there when you're crying. This shit gets triggered in our nervous systems. Again, this is trauma-informed. You can do the modern male stoic, just like, I don't have childhood issues and that, and like, I just keep doing the fucking, like, that's bullshit. I don't do the emotional stuff. Well, enjoy unhappily ever after. That's all I'm going to fucking say, man. If you don't get fucking real with there's real shit going on, I get it. This is not to shame you. I get it. We have all lived in a profoundly sick society that indoctrinated us as men that emotions are bad, emotions are wrong. And I know your dad, your stepdad, and a ton of fucking men that you could have, should have, would have had a lot better response and a better childhood if they didn't fucking do it, but they did. And they shamed you, they put you down, they socially alienated you at school, etc. for when you cried, when you were emotional, when you expressed sadness, when they expressed all of that shit. I get it. But if you don't fucking snap out of that, your marriage is going to die. The reason you're listening in here, I'm getting really passionate about this unapologetically, is when we lone wolf and we like repeatedly commit to repeating the way we've been showing up, irrespective that we know it doesn't fucking work, your marriage dies. And even if you don't, if she doesn't leave you, if you don't end up divorcing her or she, like 70 to 90% of the time our queens land the divorce papers on our breakfast table first, if that doesn't happen, the other option is fucking worse. It's worse for everybody. It's worse for your kids. Because unhappily ever after is an insult to you. Is an insult to your happiness. Is an insult to your human experience. And it's an insult to your queen, to your kids, and the 7 generations coming after you. It's intolerable within this culture. So if you just want to go with, hey, emotionally, fuck all this childhood shit, that's not a perspective. Cool, man. Just fucking find a different podcast. Find a different movement. This movement is about men that are willing to take extreme ownership. The men that are in Heroic Husbands Men Circles, man, you should fucking see. I am proud of every single one of those men. Fucking proud. Regular men, like myself. Regular men, like you. Regular men doing irregular fucking intense deep work. Showing irregular levels of heroic humility to fucking own up where they're truly at emotionally. Where they're truly at psychologically. Where they're truly at in their marriage. Where they're truly at in their sex life. Where they're truly at in their finances. Where they're truly at in how to show up in parenting. And the results are spectacular. Spectacular. Just this week, I have amazing testimonials. This first wave of testimonials coming through. I'm proud of them. I've created that space, but fuck me, I'm like insanely proud of every single man. Regular guys doing a regular deep inner work, showing up, and their queens are turning around, their marriage is turning around, their parenting is turning around, their lives are happier, they're more like they're coming into their power as men. They're feeling proud about being men and proud about being fucking husbands. That the honor it is to be a husband, the honor it is to be a dad, to be protectors, to be present, to like demonstrate and implement strategies of progress within all areas, the most important areas of your married life. They're nailed, they're in, they're wanting more and more. This is the game. So touch, be, stay within arm's reach. Food, attachment needs, you know, breastfeed, bring the bottle, a drink, a meal together, meet like a simple thing in a conversation. Just get a herbal tea, get a tea. It's like, baby, here, I'm just prepare it. Get her, know her favorite sort of comfort. Like, hey, I just hot chocolate. It could be a hot chocolate, whatever it is. I don't like the whole coffee thing, but maybe, man, if she likes a coffee, like prepare, just Just prepare it. It's like, hey, baby, you sit there. I want to be fully with you. You prepare the hot chocolate, coffee, herbal tea, whatever it is. And hey, baby, it's communicating you mean a lot to me. It's like, there you go, baby. And you have your tea, coffee, whatever it is. And I'm fully with you. It's attachment needs. It's soothing. It's medicine to both nervous systems off. This is honoring. It's like it becomes a ritual. You have your tea, you're close, you're within arm's reach. Movement is another great thing. If it's super conflicting, movement is a key attachment need. You know, a child crying will want to be moved away, sort of like moved from their shitty nappy, moved towards food, moved to a warmer place. They're crying. Movement is a deep attachment need. This is really key, really key. It's a human need. So movement, maybe you can change rooms. You're having the conversation, it's in the kitchen, there's kids around, there's noise. Move to a room that's a bit more settled. Move outside if it's a nice day. Hey baby, how about we just go by down to the bench at the bottom of the garden? I want to be fully with you. It's a nice day, it's sunny. I want to have a relaxing space. You go and walk down, change space, bring a bit of movement in. You can go for a walk. My queen and myself, we like walks. We have a lane nearby. It gets us out of the house. If it's intense and the movement, the walk, the breath of fresh air, the sun, the birds, etc. It's soothing to be in nature. You change, you bring movement, and a change of situation can be a really powerful way to shift the emotions underneath. You could dance with her. You could actually dance. Just get playful. Go, hey baby, let's just dance. Let's just shake this up, baby. I'm gonna dance. I want to hear what you want to say, but let's just fucking dance. And it brings a bit of humor in and brings a smile. She's moving again. You're approaching her. You're saying, I'm playful. I'm here. I want to connect. I'm here for it. And then words, I would say attachment needs. Another great thing is to intermittently throughout the whole conversation, build a structure where words of safety are there. And like you're going through the own curious and truth. And guys, it's intense. I use this with my queen, but during like an intense conversation is an intense conversation. There can be a lot of emotions going on. So in the middle of it all, pepper in, keep a safe structure. Again, it's coming from the intention at the beginning, the intention to connect with, understand, and honor both human truths. Like, I'm not going anywhere, baby. I'm here till you feel safe. I'm here till we're both feeling good about this. I'm here till we're both feeling connected. I'm intending to connect with you, baby, repeatedly. Baby, I just want to let you know I'm intending to connect with you. We're in this together. Teamwork. We're in this together. I want to hear you, and I want to hear you and what you need to say, baby. I want to hear you. Whatever you need to say is welcome, baby. In this space with me, whatever you need to say is welcome. And guys, fucking back that shit up. Even if it's a criticism, if it's what your nervous system receives as stingy feedback, etc., etc. You're saying whatever you need to say. Let her empty your heart, and it will allow her move emotions. Old me was running away scared of your truth, baby. The me of today wants to hear all of you, no matter how scary. You know, tell her it's like, hey, we're one of the most common things I will say, and I used to say in the past was, baby, I understand if you're scared to speak your truth to me now because I showed up like really fucking bad. Really, I was an asshole so many times down the years. But the me of today, baby, I'm wanting to hear. I'm really fucking passionately curious to know what you want to say. You know, the feminine core wound is very often has been abandonment. Meeting this needs is like, watering a thirsty flower so it comes into full bloom, so her truth comes through. And when you meet all the attachment needs, the food, the touch, a bit of movement and words of safety, as you're doing the own and the curious and the truth, guys, her nervous system and also you is feeling seen, heard, and safe in the own curious and truth. And the attachment needs is like radically safe. It's like you're filling her nervous system up in a very complete way where, she's feeling really, really safe in the space with you. This space itself becomes radically safe. You will see without fail if you have the kingly spiritual balls to take 2 days as a practice, not something like a first guitar lesson where, oh, I want to be Jimi Hendrix, and then you fucking dump the guitar, the book, and the teacher after the first lesson because you're not doing a riff like he did at Woodstock. It's fucking bullshit. It's like boyish energy. If you have the spiritual kingly balls, and every single one of you have them inside, I believe in every single man. This is why you come back here, because it's masculine core. It's mastery. It's mastering not just marriage. It's mastering you, your inner world, and life. It's mastering an approach of extreme ownership that allows you meet your deathbed knowing, I came, I saw, I fucking conquered. I couldn't have wrung more love, more presence, more beauty, more joy, more appreciation for myself and in all my relationships. And who's going to be the ones at your deathbed? If your queen outlives you, she's going to be there. Your kids are going to be there. They're going to be the ones going, who the fuck was this dude? Who was he as a man? And tears of fucking joy is what you want flowing down their cheeks, because they know this man, he had whatever childhood, he had whatever experiences. Man, he was ignorant as a dog. I'm talking about myself. I was ignorant as a dog for years. Because why? He didn't. Nobody trained him. His dad, his fucking stepdad, his granddad, all the men before him didn't realize, did not know how to do this game. But he, at one point, turned the fucking tide. He, at one point, actually, the tears of joy is that they have all observed, up close and personal, the radical transformation that you led, that you took ownership for. And you went from the man you were to the man that you were born to become, and that's kingship. You go from boy energy, that's okay. No, it doesn't matter. Coming into landing, guys, it doesn't matter where you are now in your marriage. It doesn't matter where you have been in your marriage. It doesn't matter how much conflict, how much drama, how much hurt, how much pain. Because why? It doesn't matter because it has happened. It has already happened. What you are accountable for is what you fucking do from this moment or not. You are 100% accountable for, if you listen into this and you're like, yeah, it sounds good, and then you don't implement, well, that's on you, fucking man. It is entirely on you when, at your moment from waking up, at your moment to coming to this podcast, at your moment of realizing there's a different way, there's a systematic way that brings connection, that brings understanding, that blooms love in long-term, deep, intimate marriage containers. It's available to you. It's on the table. I can't find words that express my gratitude and the depth of honoring I have for every single one of you men. I wish, and I say this like with just total honesty, I wish I could give a fucking brotherly bear hug to every single one of you now. Like, coming into landing, you've listened this much, you're listening in, you're there, you're recognizing a part of you that really deeply wants to be the marriage transforming hero of your relationship, to be the hero for your queen, for your kids, for the 7 generations after. You're willing to do whatever is necessary. I wanna give you a fucking bear hug. You deserve that, man. You deserve it. I believe in you. What I will say is, lone wolfing, you're going to struggle. I'm opening up, take my diary up. The next time the doors are opening for Heroic Husbands Men's Circles is the week beginning the 13th of November. There's going to be a sprint before Christmas. That's going to give 2 full months before Christmas. I want to open it to the doors to powerful men like you, regular men that are getting ready to do irregular, amazing, deep inner work. I want to open the doors at that point to give time that your marriage will have turned a corner significantly, amazingly, beautifully by Christmas, to end 2023 on a fucking high that you never knew was possible in your married life. It was never modeled, so you didn't realize you could dare to reach that high. I want you knowing before the end of 2023 that marriage is an infinite game. It's the most beautiful spiritual game available for you, and you're already in it. You're listening in. You're already in the container. You don't have to fucking go out and find that woman. You already have the woman. If you've kids, you have a house, you have a life together. You already have all the raw material. You just need support in learning what the rules of the game are. Have powerful other men that are open-heartedly taking and practicing, taking extreme ownership. And then you just join that upward spiral. That is going to be happening. That intake of new men is going to be happening the week beginning the 13th of November. So my direct challenge to you is don't miss out on that. It's going to be 3 or 4 months beyond that when I open the doors again. Do not miss out on that opportunity. Lone wolfing is extremely limiting. I would say extremely limiting to the point that it doesn't fucking work. And every single guy in Heroic Husbands is accepting this as a fact now, that the lone wolfing was never, ever, ever going to work. It didn't matter what books they read. It didn't matter what podcast, how often they listen in. It's when they got that support, they got that feedback, they get these guys that have their back, that they can jump in a call with these guys. We do our group calls. We learn this shit. We get feedback on how we're implementing it, and massive support. They're all in an upward spiral. Regular guys living out irregularly beautiful marriages now. And I want that to be available to you. But it won't happen with lone wolfing. It won't happen if you set a good intention. You're like, oh, yeah, someday maybe. Fuck that. I'm setting the direct challenge to you. Act on your deepest desire to create an experience, an off-the-charts amazing marriage. Act on that desire now. Scroll down. The link is in the podcast description. Set the call now. Make it happen. And put yourself front of queue for that opening starting the 13th of November. With deep bows and amazing love for you guys, the essence of our movement. Better husbands today. Better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Heads up, kings! Don't miss the only opportunity left to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles in 2023. Go from feeling that your best will never be good enough to becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Applications for the last intake of new members in 2023 are open until October 20th. Apply to join by clicking the link in the podcast episode description. There are limited spaces available, so don't miss out by applying to join now.